Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Big Ticket, Variety and iHeart's movie podcast. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. This week, I sit down with Robert Pattinson. I've known Rob since the early days of Twilight, and today we're talking about his latest film, The Lighthouse. In the Robert Eggers drama, he and Willem Dafoe co-star as two lighthouse keepers in 19th century New England who are struggling to survive a harrowing winter storm on a remote rocky island. Rob and I talk about working with Dafoe. They actually took dancing lessons together. He reminisces about Twilight, and Rob also reveals his love of, get ready for it, Little Richard. Plus, Rob on how he's preparing to play his biggest role yet, Batman. I'm going to have all that and more after the break. Stick around. Welcome back to The Big Ticket. Here's Rob Pattinson.
I'll get right to it. And I don't know if anyone's told you how much I love this movie.
Oh, cool, man.
I love this movie. Like, I'm starting Cannes, and yeah. I walked out, and I was like, this, like, I was blown away.
Oh, nice.
And everyone's like, so what exactly is it about? And I'm like, you watch two men go insane. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's watching two actors just... You blew my mind. You really, really blew my mind.
Thanks a lot.
So you reached out to Robert Eggers and said, hey, I want to work with you one day.
I'd seen The Witch like a while before I met him.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of didn't. I think it was in the period where I didn't really realize that is how you should approach things. Just as soon as you see something, just go after them. And I can't remember how I ended up meeting him, but I met him in New York. Really liked him for this big movie he was doing, medieval thing, which never came together.
Right.
I mean, I think I was sort of describing. I think I'd just come off Claire Denis and doing High Life, and. And I was kind of in a, I'd done Good Time and Claire Denis, and I think I'd just been meeting with Antonio Campos for Devil All the Time, and there was like a lot of parts which were kind of quite sort of perverted and dirty parts, and I was like, I really like doing these parts, it's fun, and I think I was just talking about it a lot in the meeting, and I think a few weeks later he was like, I think. Like, I think you like this one. It's a lot of gross stuff in it. And I really liked it.
What did you think when you read the script?
I thought it was very funny. Mm-hmm. Originally, like, as soon as I read it, it kind of, I couldn't quite tell how it would work at all. Mm-hmm. And whether it would seem, I mean, it seemed very experimental, like, mm-hmm. in the script. I mean, there was the scene when me and Willem are arguing about his cooking, there were literally two pages where both of us just saying what to each other. And it's like, I mean, that could have been played in a number of ways. I mean, that's literally, I thought it was literally going to be two close-ups.
Like Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah.
Who's on first?
And I was thinking, like, how is that going to work? And it was really... I knew it was good, and I was trying to kind of synthesize how the style of The Witch would really work in that. And mm-hmm. It's also... A lot of the first half of the movie is very serious and kind of... sort of ethnographic documentary about people who work in a lighthouse, and suddenly it just takes this wild turn.
Right.
So I was just trying to figure out how exactly it would work. And like, cause it's one of those interesting things where you read it and it's got these big, big, big images,
mm-hmm.
and then extremely intimate stuff. I mean, it's very like discordant in its rhythms and stuff. And so, yeah, I was kind of curious how the whole thing would work.
And then when does he tell you, oh, by the way, it's in 35mm black and white.
That was in the script.
Wow.
And the aspect ratio. That was the first page of the script. And it said it was in mono soundtrack. And I was like... I didn't even have financing at that point.
You're like, are you trying to get financing or not?
And I couldn't even picture what the aspect ratio would look like. I mean, it's still stunning to me when you see it in a big screen. And you're like, this is crazy. This is and it really does something. I mean, you're kind of, especially if you see it on a massive screen, it's very jarring. Yeah. And it looks, I mean, it looks so cool.
For me, well, I keep describing that. I don't know, you know, I don't have a PhD in film, but it's like, I keep describing it. It's thick.
Yeah, yeah.
It's this, I keep talking and doing my hand thing, but it looks thick.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It's strange how black and white, even though it is, a lot of it is very austere, but it's very textural and I don't normally associate black and white with that at all. Like, but then
black and white almost—you know—you look at some black and white, and it's almost flat.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't have, you know. I mean, when I was a kid, we couldn't afford a color TV, so I would watch I would always watch black and white, and I convinced myself it was a color TV because it was different shades of black and white.
Who needs a color? That's just kind of it's just kind of faint color,
right? And then someone's like, "Have you watched The Wizard of Oz?" Oh yeah, that didn't work. But this feels more black and white.
Yeah,
the black is so deep.
It's very, very like rich.
And I interviewed Robert last week, 2 weeks ago, and he told me, and does he call himself Robert? I don't know, but I keep saying Robert. And he told me at one point when he sat down with A24 and financiers, they were like, so could you just do one digital color print for some international markets? And he's like, you know. Which I love.
That would be so bizarre to see. Just stretch out the screen.
Which is great. You have someone like this who's like saying, you know what? I'm sticking to my vision.
Yeah. And I think if there was any compromise whatsoever on this, it would have no audience. Like, at all. I mean, it's you have to take the gamble to like...
Right.
And then... And just seeing... I mean, I'm amazed that the people who are going to... And like how the reaction it's getting, it's like kind of, it's really, it's so exciting to see people have a hunger for something. Because this isn't an abstract movie.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, it's literally. Listen, like, and I say to everyone, it's not for everyone.
Yeah.
We know that.
But it's for way more people than I would have thought.
It's, and listen, when I went into it, I was like, okay, what are we seeing here? And I walked, like I said, I saw it, there was that can, that first screening. It was like 8 in the morning, 8:35 or something in the morning. And I just walked out of there and I literally called everyone at Variety. I sent an email. I'm like, this is what it's about. I'm like,
and it's just got an energy to it as well. That it's kind of, it's just funny. It's one of those kind of, it doesn't really seem like a period piece. It's kind of. It just feels like a little alien artifact.
And he built his own lighthouse.
Yeah.
What the?
I mean,
not just a light. Like, you can't just go to like the back lot at Warner Brothers and put a couple of pieces of plywood together.
Yeah.
You need a lighthouse that was going to sustain in that real weather.
Yeah. That's why I'm like so proud. Of getting like Parts and Labor and RT and all these different companies, like, I mean, people like really went in on it, like on this thing. And I remember like halfway point, we had a kind of party. And they were showing stuff and I was watching it and I was like, this does look absolutely crazy. But like, there is nothing in the theaters I've ever seen at all. It's like, do people even put this in theaters? Like, I mean, I have no idea. Isn't this like isn't this like a kind of NC-17 situation? Like where it's sort of, it's just like, yeah, we don't play square movies here.
Well, then, so talking about NC-17, he also told me at one point someone's penis. There's a shadow of someone's penis.
I know. I didn't even see this penis.
That was
this elusive penis.
Yeah, that was like juxtaposed to the lighthouse.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they definitely have the lighthouse kind of getting hard on.
Right there, this movie's not for everyone. Yeah.
But to be honest, I didn't even realize I had to have that explained to me. To be
honest, you're like, oh yeah.
And Robert's talking about all the phallic stuff. I'm like, what phallic stuff? It's a lighthouse.
He's like, look up.
Yeah. He's just talking about a lobster.
And Willem Dafoe.
He's extraordinary in it.
absolutely. I mean, we know there's that. There's a scene at the end, and we're not going to talk about it because we don't want to spoil it. And I wish I could talk about it in detail because it's just. I mean, I said he should win an Oscar, Golden Globe, Pulitzer, Emmy, Pulitzer. Grammy, Tony.
Nobel.
He just deserves everything for it.
It's literally, it's funny how you kind of, something becomes like, I mean, it's, he's so built for that part. I mean, he's built for so many different parts, but you're just like, it's funny because in the script, I always read it as this kind of hulking sort of obelisk, this like just giant, because there was so much kind of physical domination. Mm-hmm. It's funny, the two movies I did some movie, The Rover, which like I kind of imagine the same thing. There's something that really appeals to me in playing that kind of the like of Mice and Men kind of thing, where you have a smaller guy who's got just absolute domination over a large one. And so you can kind of, I think it's because I just always, when I was auditioning for stuff all the time, I always wanted to play this sort of little Weasley guy. It's always more interesting. And it's infuriated me, going like,
you're too tall.
I'm handicapped by my height. So like whenever I got a chance, I mean, in The Rover, it was definitely written to be a smaller guy. I mean, I liked playing it, you know, just kind of reversing it a little bit. And then on this, I couldn't think of what actor could be so enormously large. And then when Robert was talking about Willem, I was just like, well, and they showed me this picture of him with a beard and he just looked so incredible and he just changed it to black and white. And I was like, wow. And, but there's something about Willem. He's so kind of naughty in the way he plays stuff. Mm-hmm. There's always like this kind of mischievousness that I think the movie could have been so aggressive and dark without that. Like Willem's really making it, he's really kind of giving it buoyancy in a lot of ways, for especially that the first like half of the movie. I mean, he's very funny in it.
It's a funny, like you said, like it is a funny movie. So one of the first things Willem did when you guys stopped shooting was just get rid of that beard. What did you do when you stopped shooting?
Even do, I mean, it's funny, I had such a good time on this, like, it's kind of, I love little towns, like, it's kind of, I love it when there's only really one thing to do. I love it when everyone's on location and you kind of,
it's like a summer camp.
I mean, I absolutely love it. I can't even remember what happened afterwards. I think I might have just gone straight into something else.
You've been busy.
But no, I had a really, really good time on it.
What did you take home? Do you take home anything from set? Something like that? Where's that Little Mermaid?
I do have the Little Mermaid. You do. Yeah, good. Yeah. Still use it for what it's just. Still my go-to.
When you're lonely. Yeah, when
go to my pocket right now.
Okay, we got to talk about it. I mean, you're... The first thing you have to shoot is masturbating.
Yeah.
And he told me that was basically just based on like the light and the weather. And this is what you're going to shoot that day.
Really?
That's what he said.
I mean, it's kind of, it was fun. That sequence in the script was it was the kind of centerpiece of like, when he kind of, if you imagine reading that, you would literally be like, I did make me laugh a lot, because you're kind of thinking, I think there's sort of been sex scenes where you kind of started, people have been having hallucinations, and I've sort of seen that in a movie, but I've definitely never seen that. I'm almost certain of it. This is the first time it's ever happened.
Right.
That's true. It was kind of exciting to do it.
What do you tell your family before they go seeing these movies? I mean, it's not the first time you've done it.
I'm expecting it now. When's he going to get it out?
I mean, but then, listen, and then in the King, I mean, I walk around the office all the time going, you watch, and right here, big balls, you cook. Big balls, you cook.
The cook. That's so fun. That's literally one of the most fun words to say in a French accent.
A little cook.
That was one of the more fun.
That was
literally, I've never actually made myself laugh at it. I would literally be like, just like sitting in the bathroom in Budapest, and like, I genuinely don't know if this is a joke or not. But I think so. I wasn't really doing it as a joke.
And how do you keep that straight face when you're saying that to him on screen? I mean,
I was nervous because David Michaud kept saying like, I need to hear your voice, and I'm like, no. Okay. And I literally hadn't done anything until, and I didn't want to, because basically I come straight off the lighthouse, and I was, it's quite a finicky accent on the lighthouse, and like, and I was working with a dialect coach, and like, oh, I really like this guy Howard, but I don't really like doing stuff in this kind of academic way, especially in the lighthouse, I was very stressed the whole time, and so if someone like, I can't have too many people saying you're doing it wrong. Otherwise, just that like sucks. Start lashing out at people. I can deal with like one person. But, like, and I think, so I went into the King afterwards, and I just thought there was a dialect coach and that, because everyone's doing English accents, and he was really nice too. And I was like, sorry, dude, I can't talk to you about this accent. I'm just gonna do it, and you're just gonna get what you get.
Willem Dafoe likes rehearsals. You don't like rehearsals. That created a good tension. Mm-hmm. Why don't you like rehearsals?
I can imagine that sometimes I could maybe do it. I mean, I think it's sort of, I think in a lot of ways I'm doing stuff for that when you have the camera there, it's a sort of impartial, the camera's impartial to stuff. And like, so, and I'm always worried about doing something in a sort of half-assed way.
Okay.
And then you scare the director, or like if you do something as an experiment and you scare them, and then they're just looking out for you to not do that again. And then by the time you're shooting, you're starting something and you think like, it feels like you've got a minefield in front of you, and you're like, I can't do that, I can't do this. I think that's kind of why anyway. Like, and because until you're really there, I don't think I'm not very good at sort of theoretical, like hypotheticals. Like, right. And so it's kind of, it's like, well, the lighthouse is going to feel like this, and the table's here, and blah, blah. Right. And I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. This is just masking tape on the floor. Like, and then you get there, and then suddenly everything, I can understand it way quicker. But like, and also you want to have that first feeling of like, what is it? I like to do stuff by myself a lot, but I think doing it when you have a few people trying to figure it out at the same time, and if everyone's changing, I find it very strange.
Well, it's going to put it in your head, where, like you just said, like, I can't do this. Oh wait, that person just said that.
Yeah,
it's going to block.
And also, it feels like the part of my self-consciousness kicks in, and it kind of, you know, it's sort of, I don't know, I just get very, very shy in those situations. Whereas there's something about the moment of shooting or actual performance that like, you're jumping off the cliff, and so it's the end of the line.
Happens.
Yeah, it's the end of the line. So like, it's kind of, you know, there's no half-assing it.
Now we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, Rob reminisces about one very funny Twilight moment, the time he was really drunk and wept during a Little Richard concert, and he also reveals how he's prepping to play Batman. Plus, he reacts to the Oscar buzz circling the lighthouse. I'll have all that and more after the break. Make sure to stick around. Welcome back to The Big Ticket. Here's more of Rob Pattinson. What was your hardest day on set for The Lighthouse?
The hardest day. I mean, there were some very long days on it. But, but I mean, it's good because it's kind of, you're doing stuff the whole time. Right. It's never waiting around.
Right.
Though, and so they're like long scenes. Everything's meaty.
And it just sounded pretty miserable with the weather. Or is that being exaggerated?
I mean, I guess, but it's sort of, it's funny, that kind of shit, I never, the weather's only affected me once when I remember it was on Twilight, where I was kind of like an absolute moron. I was like, why do I always wear all these jackets all the time? I thought I could never feel the cold. And they're like, well, what do you want to wear? I'm like, just wear a t-shirt, be normal. And then, so I wear a t-shirt and it ends up being the coldest day of the entire year in Vancouver. And I've got all these, those heat patches on me, which would make you look like you've got a training bra on underneath. And it's in the
That's
movie.
A whole different
and,
movie.
You can literally see like sagging, your giant sagging nipples. Like, I think it's in the. I can't remember which one it's in. Maybe it's in the second
That's
one.
That's hilarious.
And after that point, I'm like, yeah, he's a vampire. Gets a bit chilly sometimes.
when you signed on for the movie, so was Willem signed on yet, or did you come sort of as a package deal?
He was attached like a couple of days later.
Right.
And I love Willem. I think like there's so many.
What'd you learn from him?
He's got enormous amounts of energy and kind of, I don't really know how you'd learn it. He's like such a fun person to play things with. Like, I mean, he's like Willem was saying the other day, we were doing an interview together and he was saying he doesn't like working with people who are like from his generation, have got tired and stuff. And like, I mean, it's a completely unfair comparison because he just doesn't get tired ever. Right. And like, but like, it is fun working with someone. If whatever you want to throw at him, he's just nonstop. You'll be rolling around in the mud, like never complaining about anything. Everything's a laugh. Like,
that's amazing. He's appreciating it. He's in it.
And like, I've worked with some people who like you have a fight scene with them and they're always just a bit like, they're like, I'll do it. Willem is like,
he's in the fight
scene for real. Like, and it's kind of, and it's nice. Like, he's kind of, it's like hard. Like, it's like got there's, I mean, so many of these scenes where you can kind of, I can see in the shots of him. And there's this like glee when I'm working myself up so much, like, because I guess there's this kind of the challenge for dominance and between the characters, and like some of the scenes where I'm like psyching myself up so much and like losing my mind, like trying to sort of threaten him, and you can see this little glint in his eyes, and like, come on, go, and just waiting for his line so he could just completely undercut me. It's just like it's almost, I can feel it coming as well, like deflating it by the end of my speech. And like, it's just a fun guy to do stuff with.
No, I remember, a few years ago, it was the first time I interviewed him, and I remember him coming on the carpet. I was like, that's Willem Dafoe, I'm scared. Mm-hmm. Like, you think he's going to be, at least I thought he's going to be like this scary, serious, and he's like the nicest, warmest, open guy.
Yeah. Which, and he's very funny as well.
Very funny.
Yeah.
I mean, he was an Aquaman. Yeah. You gotta be funny. I mean, they de-aged him. They gave him a ponytail.
No, really? Does he have a digital ponytail?
No, he had a wig. He had a wig. I've asked him about the wigs. He said they were very itchy. tell me about dancing with Willem.
It's another thing. I mean, literally, I was just so nervous at the beginning of all this stuff. We had these dancing lessons, and like, Willem can just do everything. I mean, he's like really good at dancing as well. Picks up this whole like jig in like 10 seconds.
And, like, how long did it take you to get the jig?
I'm just like, I can't even do it. Like, I'm literally just like, and then, so I had to, I just remember going, it's like in the classes, I'm like, I can't do it. I'm getting really embarrassed now. Face is going very red. I'm just gonna go and I'll just do this in the park in Halifax, and I'll like go up at 5 o'clock in the morning watching this video on my phone, like behind some trees, learning to jig.
Googling how to jig.
No one can see me practice.
That's amazing. You took dancing lessons with Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, yeah. And
did you ever think you're growing?
I was always the lady.
He always led.
Yeah, it's always.
Okay, you're growing up. Did you ever think in your wildest dreams, one day I'm going to be taking dancing lessons with one of the greatest actors ever?
I mean, definitely not. I'm definitely, though, this kind of... It's weird that this kind of movie, like, I can sort of feel... I don't know, when I didn't really know where I was aiming.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of, but like when you start to hit on movies like this, it's like, this is what I wanted to be doing.
Right.
Like, and it's kind of, and it feels great when you're doing it. Like, and it's kind of, you're never stressed. Mm. Like it's always, well, actually that's not true.
Behind the tree trying to learn how to jig.
Yeah. It always feels right when you like the movie afterwards.
Right. Right. What I felt also about the movie, it was very, to me, I could see it on like in a black box theater.
Mm. What's a black box theater?
Like just a small, you know, just a black box, mm-hmm. you know, nothing fancy. Mm. And just... with that dialogue and those accents, mm-hmm. I could just see two guys just sitting on stage doing it.
Mm-hmm. It's annoying how it's not an appealing thing for movies that you can be in if there's only one person in the theater. Because like, I would love someone to have that experience. Like, I mean, it's definitely a one person in the theater's experience. I mean, I would absolutely love that. But like, yeah, hopefully that won't happen.
When are you going to do Broadway?
And I'm still a bit scarred from my theater experience years ago.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why? What happened?
I just got fired like 3 days before I went on stage.
No.
And yeah.
What production was that?
It's in London.
Wow.
And then I left. I didn't realize you'd get fired from stuff.
You're like, me? No.
And I left and I was like, went down. I was walking very, very self-pitying. Walked down. I went to this pub, like, by the river and got absolutely trashed. And then saw that Lil Richard was playing in the South Bank in London. I went to a Lil Richard concert afterwards. Just wept the whole time. And I was like, this is the most amazing concert I've ever seen.
Wait a minute. How old
incredible.
Were you?
I lined
How
up and got his autograph you? Afterwards. 19? Yeah.
And then you lined up to get his
autograph? I literally lined up the whole for like an hour and a half after and still got his autograph.
Do you have it? Do you still have it?
Yeah, I still got it. Like,
that's genius.
It's great. I love Lil Richard.
You learn something new every day. Robert Pattinson loves Little Richard.
My talent contest in school when I was like probably 14.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone was getting up to do their thing, and I played Lucille and played the piano so hard that there was just blood all over the keys afterwards. And I was like getting up. I was just the next kid. I had to go and play the piano drenched in blood.
Wow. Now, did you tell Little Richard that?
This is performance.
One day,
yeah.
I'm going to be a star.
Pay for everything with blood.
I know you can't tell me any details about Batman, but we're all very excited.
Mm.
How excited are you?
No, very, very. I'm kind of like, it's funny because I've still got significant amount of stuff to do on Chris Nolan's movie. And so I'm kind of, yeah, I'm still a bunch of things which I'm very nervous about doing.
Of course.
How
do you wrap your mind around that? Or you don't?
Batman?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad I've had quite a lot of time. I've been reading. Funny, I didn't realize there were so many Batman comics. There are hundreds of thousands. But yeah, I've been reading a lot of those. And not really just the kind of classics, the kind of... I just like reading the sort of individual periodicals.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's nice to kind of see where the absolutely contemporary ones, like the Tom King ones, stuff like mm-hmm. that. I mean, it's interesting to see, you know, what people are sort of expecting, where the character sits now within that world. Mm-hmm. It's very different to where it sits in terms of the movies people see.
Of sure.
But yeah, it's kind of, I think it's interesting. I mean, I don't know how much you'll really even bring in from those right. comics, but it's sort of, it's nice to sort of like get as much assimilation as you can.
And did you know Chalamet is a big Robin fan?
I saw that the other day. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's like great.
Obsessed.
Like,
and then, and of course, the internet picked up that interview as Chalamet that's, wants to play Robin.
That's the one thing I can reveal.
Go ahead. Rob, thank you so much. This is awesome.
Thanks,
I'm really excited for you. You're getting Oscar buzz, which is like, what is that? What? How do you?
I mean, like, you never know, had. I don't even have capacity to think about it. But yeah, I'm not even joking, but I'm so glad that people seem to like this movie. I'm sure there'll be some kind of backlash. But
no, it's but, really like I keep saying, and I say to everyone, I think it's, if you want to go see actors acting, I know that sounds so cliche, but it's just, it blew my mind. It really, you guys, I was just like, Rob Hansen holds his own and more with Willem Dafoe. And it's just the two of you. There's nobody else. Awesome. Rob, thank you so much. Thanks, I appreciate it.
Cheers. Thank you.
That was Rob Pattinson. Thanks for listening to this week's Big Ticket. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Coming up next week, Taron Egerton. The Rocket Man star talks about singing in Joni Mitchell's living room. Yes, Joni was there. Reacts to award season buzz for his work playing Elton John. And he also opens up about what went wrong with his doomed Robin Hood movie. It's all coming up next week on The Big Ticket. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter and Instagram @MarkMalkin. See you next week.